Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Do you feel blessed this morning? I feel blessed this morning. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, but he's not actually here today. But would you put that picture up there for me, Grayson? That guy sitting right there, his name is Tommy Clack, and those are his children. That's Adam and Aaron around him. I've known Tommy for a lot of years, way back when I was a youth pastor in the late 80s, early 90s at Mount Carmel Christian Church, and his children were at that time were in the children's ministry and the youth ministry. But Tommy Clack is a Vietnam veteran. The first thing that Tommy Clack learned after arriving in Vietnam was that his training was outdated and irrelevant to the conditions on the battlefield. Still, he adapted and overcame as he worked to train others on new weapons and equipment. But life changed forever for Tommy in May of 1969. I was only 4 years old. 4 years old? Six, no, 5 years old. I was 5 years old when, as a young army captain, he was wounded in Vietnam, and it cost him three limbs and damaging his hearing. And you can't rightly see it right there, but Tommy has no legs and only one arm. And Tommy, I never saw Tommy where he wasn't grateful for the life that he had. And not only that, he used his life to help others. Tommy drives a van by himself. He needs no help. Tommy has done things because he believes in the Lord has given him a gift to help others. And he does it to honor the Lord. He does it to make known what service people go through in. And you know that line where all gave some, but some gave all? I mean, he lives by that. And he honors the people that never came back. And the people that are here that have given their life, part of their life for that. And sometimes it's part of your physical body, like me. And Tommy, when I think about Tommy Clack, I think about that's what it means to be grateful, even in his circumstances in life. And it ministers to me. And as you know, tomorrow is Veterans Day. And if you're a veteran, if you've served this country, this great country, would you stand right now? Do we have any veterans in here? We want to thank you guys so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your sacrifice. Thank you so much. We appreciate you so much. And honestly, I didn't think about using Tommy until early this morning. I get up on Sunday mornings, and I look over my message, and I think about it, and I ask the Lord, is this what you want today, after going through the week and studying? And Tommy came to mind just this morning. And so I was up early, and I got online, I got a picture of him, and I already knew his story. But God gave it to me because moving into today is a new series. It's about being dependent on a God who shows up. And just because he shows up, we should be thankful that he is there. And these next three weeks cover three different psalms that express thankfulness and gratitude and a postured heart toward God and his faithful actions toward his people. That's you and me. A thankful heart is always dependent upon God. So I ask you this morning as we go into this series, do you depend on God? Or do you live out in your own dependence, like self-sufficiency? Or do you depend on God? Have you ever looked in your rearview mirror and see those dreaded blue lights flashing? Who's been there? Yeah, a lot of us have. And if you haven't, you will. Just wait your time. They'll be there. So what's the first thing you check? What do you look at first? You look at your speed. It's like, well, was I going too fast? You know, nobody looks and say, was I going fast enough, right? You know, but some of us think we get behind those people, and they should. They should get a ticket for not going fast enough, right? But we look, and we look at our speed. How fast were we going? Well, that happened to me a few years ago. This was more like 12 years ago. I used to love to play basketball. I still love it when I can. My body just can't. But I love to play basketball. And I used to go play pickup basketball at Swanee Sports Academy. And I used to go after work, play late at night, play till about 8:30 or 9 p.m. at night. And then I'd get in my car and I'd come back home. And, you know, this was in the winter, so it's cold outside. But then my body heat, as I'm driving, starts steaming up the windows. Okay? And I have a hoodie on. And then on the way back on Satellite Boulevard, I get pulled over. It's like, I look at my speedometer first. It's like, well, I wasn't going too fast, I don't think. And that wasn't the reason. He just saw the window steamed up and a hoodie on, and he thought there was something bad going down or something like that while I was driving. But that's the first thing we look at. We look in the rearview mirror, and we think about how fast were we going. And, you know, some of us, if you're going to admit, some of us are guilty of it, right? If you're going too fast, or if you've passed by a bus when you shouldn't have passed by a school bus, some of us do these things. So there's two things that can happen when you get pulled over, right? There's two things that happen. One is justice, okay? And not your justice, but the justice of the law, right? So you get pulled over, you did the crime, so you got to be willing to pay the time or the fine, right? And so they give you a ticket, right, for what you've done. You can complain, you can bellyache, you can do whatever, but you did the crime, so the ticket sometimes is worthy of what you did, right? I know in your head you're going, no, that's not right, Pastor Mike, that's not right. But then there's another option, and that's the police officer can give you mercy, right? He could say, well, just slow down, ma'am, or slow down, sir. By the way, how many of you ever cried to get out of a ticket? Who's done it? I got a couple guys. All right, man, that's laying down your pride right there. Come on. Well, I know people who have cried, and they've got. But, you know, if the police officer has that option to give you a little mercy on that. So those two things happen. You can get justice or you can get mercy. What I want to talk today about is that we can be thankful that we have a merciful and a just God. Because even in his justness, he is good. But we only see it that when he shows mercy, oh, he's a good God because he showed us mercy. So we'll be thankful for that. Well, what about in the justice? The justice, God is still good. And God should still get our gratitude in the justice. But I want to focus today on this mercy thing that he gives us. Have you ever seen, either online or maybe they're posted, where there's a picture of a dog that's lost? Lost dog, lost cat. And you feel sorry sometimes, or you say, I wonder what that is. All over next door neighbor, that little community thing, they're putting up, lost my cat, here's a picture. Lost my dog, here's a picture. Well, I came across this thing when I was studying for my message about this poster about a lost dog. And I want to share with you what it says. It says, lost dog has three legs, one eye, one ear, and half a tail, and has been neutered. Now, when you think of a dog like that, what do you think? Oh, poor thing. But when you think of a dog like that, what do you think its name is? Lucky. Oh, Eileen. Oh, that is not good. You think of his name as he's Lucky. He's still alive. But when we go through things, and that was a fictitious thing and supposed to be funny or whatever, but let's think about it. We have lots of things in our lives that we say, man, I wish I wasn't like that. Or I'm hindered in this area, or I have a limitation in this area. But you see, God is still good, and God is still merciful, but sometimes we don't think that. We think that, well, my life is just horrible, and I don't know how I can be used, or why would God make me like this? But God is still a merciful God, and God wants to use us all for his glory, whatever place in life, or whatever life brings to our world here. He is still a merciful God, and he deserves our thanksgiving. So how do we continue to thank God in the midst of dry seasons? How do we continue to thank God in the midst of hard seasons? How do we continue to thank God in seasons where all seems to be against us or nothing goes right? And we've all been there in some way, shape, or form at different levels. It's relative. Maybe there's some kind of limitation in our life that we can't do anything about. And it makes life hard, if not impossible, at times. Maybe it was your rebellion that put you in that season, or maybe it was just happenstance. Regardless of whatever got you there, God will still show up. God will still show his mercy. Lamentations 3 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Is that what we feel when we look at our life and nothing's going right? Do we think of this passage in Lamentations? Do we think that, "Lord, your mercies are new every day, and thank you, great is your faithfulness"? Many times that's not the first place that we go. The first place we go and first things we think of are, "Lord, can you take this away? Lord, can you help me in my situation? Lord, I can't do this because of this." You're saying, "Lord, I don't know why I'm this way, but if this is your will, Lord, then I want to glorify you in it as long as I'm in it. And I want to thank you, not for just your mercy, but being a God who is has the capacity to be merciful." But many times we don't. God's mercy is a cause for thanksgiving. When we cry out to him, he can restore us even when our troubles are the results of our own sins. So when we are exhausted from the hard circumstances of life, we must depend on God and not our own strength. And let me tell you, church, we are to be a witness. We are to be the gospel within it, right? Paul said, "Count it joy," right? When you face all these circumstances, when you face all these trials, when you face all these troubles, which, by the way, Jesus said you will have, right? Charles Spurgeon said this, "God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water or deprive the sun of its light or make space too narrow than diminish the great mercy of God." I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles or if you have your phone app or if you want to look on the screen. This is our major text this morning. It's out of Psalm 107. Listen to these words, or read these words along with me. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains." The key idea in this passage of Scripture is that God is willing to restore all those who call upon his name. Even through a variety of circumstances, wandering, self-inflicted pain, or rebellion in this case, there is a relational aspect. God continues to help his people only after they have acknowledged their circumstances and called upon his name. We have a God who expects us to call upon him, because he is the one we are to be dependent on. Not ourselves, not the things of the world, not the blessings that he gives us, but he alone is the one we should be dependent upon. Verse 4 through 8 of our text, and I want to reread this. Grayson, you don't have to put it up there, says some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and they were thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to the city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Church, there is no room for pride when it comes to God. There is no room for self-help when it comes to God. Because when we come to God, he is the sovereign God over all. And he is the one who gives, who takes away, who provides, who sustains. He is all in all. And when we come to him, we have to recognize that's who he is and give him praise and adoration and thanks because of that. His faithfulness and loyalty to his people is displayed in three different situations in this passage of Scripture: to the one bound by the enemy, to the wanderer, and to the one who is rebellious. Now let me ask you this. Have you found yourself fitting any of those descriptions lately? Have you looked at your life and said, I've been rebellious toward God and his ways? Or I have wandered away from the faith or from my time with God? Or the enemy has his hold on me, and I can't seem to break the bonds on my own. Have you found yourself fitting in there? Even though there are times when the Lord allows us to suffer, I believe that the Lord allows us in suffering and sometimes ordains it in our lives, because we have to get from point A to point B, and God will open the floodgates, whatever that is, through the fire, through the water, on dry land or wet. He's got to get us to where we need to be so we can become who he's called us to be. Sometimes our own consequences for our own sins get us to that place. For example, David's sin with Bathsheba. We can find comfort in knowing that his mercy can still extend to the depths of our issues. And we've said it before, we know that David spoke that in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. His sin brought him there, but the Lord was still with him nonetheless and walked with him in it. Does that remind you of anybody else? Like Jesus, who came to this world full of sin, took upon our sin, and said, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And he died for us. He gave us mercy. I was with Grant Saturday night. Our wives were away on the women's retreat. And so I invited Grant to come over Friday night. And he came over and we sat and talked for a little bit. And then we went out and got Chinese and we brought it back. And we watched some of his favorite VIT TV shows, People Climbing Rocks. So we sat and we watched Solo or whatever. What did we watch anyway? People Who Were About to Fall Off of Rocks is what we watched. And so we sat and talked. It was just a good time for us to hang out and talk a little bit. And I got a text from a friend, Beth Hubers, who one of my good friends, Ron, who I worked with and just did some ministry with. He died a little over a year ago in August from cancer. But we've known Beth's parents have been kind of in and out, and her mom has Alzheimer's real bad. She's been given like 3 weeks to live as of this past week. But then she texted me and said, my dad's in the hospital. And I've taken him communion. I've kept up with him. But I get there, and he's not in great shape at all. He's in his 80s. And it just, I mean, he has always asked the Lord, Lord, just let me hang on for my wife kind of thing. And but Beth told me that he may not make it out of the hospital this time. So when I go to the Lord and pray, I thank him for his mercies. I do. But then I also pray that his mercy would come upon, and God's will, upon Ed. I prayed that over him and for him Saturday or Friday night when Grant left. Grant sensed that I needed to get to the hospital, and I wanted to get to the hospital. And so I was there till about 9:30 Friday night, but I prayed over him with Beth, over her dad, that, Lord, your mercy is great, your mercy is perfect, and I would ask that you would be merciful in Ed's life and in June's life, meaning that, Lord, if you're done with them, I mean, he was having such a hard time breathing. I could hear the fluid in his lungs and those things. And it was just a struggle. And don't we all do that? You know, that's what's inside. God put that inside of us when we are feeling mercy for somebody. That's something we can be thankful for because that's God in us exercising it for other people. And we should be thankful that God is that way. He has the capacity to be that way, and he can grant that for us as well. The thankfulness that we give to the Lord is not due just to his action of delivering us, but ultimately to an ever-present mercy which guides his decision to be merciful in the first place. Do you see your limitations, or do you find a reason to thank God for your life, your situation, your blessings? God could always be thanked for his loyal love towards us in the midst of our dishonorable experiences. In verse 4 and 5 of our text, the people of God wander and cannot find shelter or food in their own efforts, even though they have tried. You ever been there? You've tried and you've tried and you've tried, but exhausted everything and you're still at the same place. It wasn't until they cried out to God and then they found shelter. He found shelter in a city for them. And it led them to the idea that dependence on God rather than in our own strength is wise. When we as Christians spiritually wander and stray from the Lord, we in the same way naturally move away from our provision and safe place, right? We do that. Trials are unfortunate situations, but they're always going to happen in life. In James 1, consider it joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It doesn't say that you will be rescued from the trial. It doesn't say that. So that God will walk with you. God is a merciful God. I'm going to be right by you. You got to go through this, but I'm going to go through it with you. Because you have to persevere. You have to learn to be stronger, to be more mature, to grow. And you can't do it. I'm God. Oh, I'm not God, but he is God. And he knows what we need to get to where we need to be in maturity. Even though we don't want to have to do that. Psalm 107 contains words like wasteland, hungry and thirsty, distress, iron chains. Who wants to be hooked up to an iron chain? But sometimes life feels that way, right? However, these are very things that made these people of God so thankful for his intervention, right? That's when we're the most thankful, not when we're on the mountaintop, right? Everything's going great. But thankfulness means even more when you are in distress and you cry out to God and he delivers, right? That's when it's more recognizable. That's when there's more gratitude. When they became housed and fed, both physically and spiritually, when they were likely able to look back at a time when they had nothing, do you take living in your home for granted? When is the last time you thanked the Lord for everyday necessities in your life, like your home, your bed, your food? Or, like I mentioned last week, do you get spiritual amnesia in regards to knowing who sustains you and who provides for you? Tony Evans says this, "Give thanks in and not for is your secret to victory." Giving thanks in, not for. We are told in Scripture, in everything, it's all-inclusive word again, everything, good times, bad times, tragedy, celebration, victory, give thanks in everything. Remember our Scripture from last week, it said when you come to God in prayer and petition with, you don't remember the Scripture then. Or you don't remember what I said last week. When we come to God in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And he says, bring it all. Bring it all. but recognize that I am God and you are not. And there is a way to come to God. The psalmist in Psalm 92 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come before his throne. That's what that means. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. And you know that blesses the Lord in the manner in which we come. The manner in which we come, not just that we come, but the manner in which we come to him blesses his name. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who pardons you from your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Church, God has given us ample reason to give him thanks. Whether it be in tragedy or victory, he has given us ample reason to give him thanks. The Bible goes as far as to say that evil, that it is evil not to thank God. Paul says in Romans 1:21, and this is regarding unrighteous men. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. When we come before God, not giving God the due thankfulness, the due worship, the due adoration, it's because of that we're selfish. We are selfish by nature. And when we come before God, we have to understand there's a limit to our self-sufficiency. There's a limit. And God doesn't want us to live by that. He wants us to have it all. All the power. But it's through him, not on our own accord. And coming before him and recognizing that. One of the things, there's one of our elders, well, all of our elders do it, but there's one particular elder that every time we come before God and pray, when I'm in his presence, he goes first to thanking God for so many things. Before we go into whatever we're petitioning God on, it starts with thanksgiving. And I hope that you'll see that and thank God for every experience in your life. You see, God is the entity that is most taken for granted in the universe. There's absolutely nothing we can do that is not dependent on him. Every breath we take depends on him to provide oxygen as well as to make our lungs work. Everything we have is supplied by a source that is beyond ourselves. The money in our wallets was printed from the paper from trees that God made in the ground that he owns. The cars we drive were fitted together from the metal that God placed in the earth. The gold jewelry we wear around our necks or wrists or fingers is from a deposit God provided. Scripture says over and over that God is the source of all good things, so we know he doesn't want us to forget the fact that he gave us everything we have, whichever form it came in. Yet we are all ungrateful at times, unhappy with what we have, and wanting more of what we don't have. These attitudes prevent us from focusing on God's graciousness. As I get older in life, I realize how many things I used to take for granted that I don't take for granted so much anymore. We forget to be thankful for what we have when we take it for granted. This leaves us open to complaining more than we should and focusing on what we don't have rather than being grateful for what we do have. And God says to give thanks in everything. And that doesn't mean we have to give thanks for everything, right? But give thanks in everything. It's hard to give thanks for everything, and because it is, we often skip over it. But when you realize you are not called to give thanks for everything, but rather in everything, you are on your way to living the victorious Christian life. Because you see, sometimes the things that we are experience are due to our own negligence, our own bad decision. God didn't cause that to happen, as so many people say. If I lose a loved one through an accident, God, I don't believe God caused the accident. So I'm not going to give thanks for the accident. But I'm going to give thanks to God for the situation, because he's going to show up. God's going to deliver. God's going to give me the grace I need, the peace I need, the strength I need to go through the grief that I'm going to experience because my loved one is gone or my friend is gone from this world. There are times when our wandering is due to a sense of pride, thinking that this life can be done on our own terms and we can fix our own problems. Pride is very crippling, and the result can lead to a fear of not being able to ask for help. Anybody in here like that? You like to help people, but you don't like to ask for help. Pride is very crippling sometimes. When we get in the habit of not asking for help, the danger is doing the same thing with God. I can do it on my own. I don't need anybody. But that's the furthest thing from the truth, and you need to reconcile that in your spirit. M. Nora Claver gives us an example of how some people fear asking for help because of possible abandonment. She said this: I have created this life of self-sufficiency, and the people I surround myself with were takers. There came a point when I needed their help, and they disappeared. I said, I need to change my life. I need to be comfortable with giving and taking. When someone's got a gift, give, and we keep refusing that gift, when we finally need it, they may not be there to give it. It's important to use, not use for the sake of using, because God has provided somebody in our life or something in our life to help us. It's a blessing. Sometimes we bring hard circumstances on ourselves due to rebellion and willful disobedience, just like the people of God in verses 10 through 14 of our text. I want you to see a clip here from another one of my favorite movies called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Great movie, and the music is just great in it too. But Everett and his friends are about to be hung and die. Before the warden hangs them, Everett begins to pray that God deliver them and give them one more chance. Yet later he goes back into his religious skepticism. Watch this video clip right now.
Lord, please look down and recognize us poor sinners. Please, Lord, I just want to see my daughters again. I've been separated from my family for so long. I know I've been guilty of pride and sharp dealing. I'm sorry that I turned my back on you, Lord. Forgive me. But help us, Lord, for the sake of my family, for Tommy's sake, and for Delmer's and Pete's. Let me see my daughters again, Lord. Help us, please.
Mercy could come in a myriad of ways. But here's the thing. This clip demonstrates how we take God's mercy for granted, and we resort back to our rebellious ways after he has delivered us from our own mess that we brought upon ourselves. That's when we get spiritual amnesia about what he did. But it also should remind us to think better, to do better. We should be thankful to him that he continues to deliver us from our own ways. You see, life brings about different types of distress, whether out of our hands or self-inflicted. Yet God brings us out of all of them when we call on his name. The calling out is an acknowledgement of dependency. We cannot get ourselves out of the situation alone in our own strength, so we should thank the Lord for his merciful rescue in our lives. God restores our needs when we acknowledge our dependence on him. Not till they were in extreme need in this passage of Scripture did they pray. But the mercy that they prayed then, and prayed in the right manner, with a cry and to the right person, even to the Lord. Nothing else remained for them to do. They could not help themselves or find help in others, and therefore they cried out to God as a last resort. You see, supplications which are forced out of us by dire necessity are nonetheless acceptable to God. But they have all the more prevalence since they are evidently sincere and make a powerful appeal to the divine's mercy. Some men will never pray till they are half starved, or for their best interest, it is far better for them to be empty and faint than to be full of themselves and prideful. I came across this quote that I really love. It says, "If hunger brings us to our knees, it is more useful to us than feasting. If thirst drives us to the fountain, it is better than the deepest draughts of worldly joys. And if fainting leads to crying, it is better than the strength of the mighty, and he delivered them out of their distresses. For the Lord was ready to save. The Lord delights to come in when no one else can be of the slightest avail." You ever prayed the prayer, "Lord, keep me needing you"? That's a bold prayer to pray, because he will. We need to understand that the Lord wants us to need him, to be dependent on him, because he is all in all. Let me close with these scriptures before we go into our time of communion. Micah 7:18 says, Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. 1 Peter 1:3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In Ephesians 2, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." I mean, when I read those scriptures, how can I not be thankful to God? He has rescued me from so many things. He has given me second chance, after third chance, after fourth chance. I mean, it can go on and on. How about you? Can you look back at times and say, "Wow, I thought that was me that got me out of that. That was really God in his great mercy, in his great love for me. Even though my sin caused me these situations and these consequences, God walked with me. He knew I had to get through it, and I had to walk through it, so he didn't take it away from me. But he walked with me, and it was great to have him there." Church, there's so much to be thankful for, no matter what the circumstances. We can't do this without God in our own lives, and this church can't do what God's called us to do without him. He's given us a God-sized vision that can only be accomplished by a God like him. And that's what we need to understand. If our heart's desire is to do what the Father's will is, then we are dependent on him, his provision, his strength, his wisdom, and his grace. And we can't accomplish God's vision by ourselves. So I ask you at the end of this first week of this series, and I want you to think about this week. Take a piece of paper and write it down if you have to. How thankful are you? That's the question you need to answer this week. How thankful are you to a God who loves you deeply, dependently, stretched out his arms on a cross, and gave you the opportunity to say, "Forgive me, I want to live with you forever"? Jesus did that for us. God did that for us. And then when we come to this time of communion in our service, it's not separate from our worship. It is our worship. And I hope that you see that. I hope that when you take the bread and you take the cup, you say, this is Jesus' body. This is his blood. And Scripture tells me, the Word of God tells me, that he did it for me. He died for me. He was buried for me. And he rose from the dead for me. He did it for every one of us. Be thankful. Be grateful of what he did. Lord, I wish you didn't have to do that. And yeah, we feel that. But you know what? If he didn't do it, we wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't know God the way we know God today. We wouldn't have access to the throne like we have access to the throne today. We wouldn't have the forgiveness that we have today if that didn't happen. So I encourage you, when you come to the throne, just as an example, I just want to encourage you with this. Whenever I get a chance to hear from my sons and talk to them, I went Saturday and spent some time with Garrett. Charlie's on the retreat, and Garrett said, you know, he said, Dad, won't you come out and hang out with me? I said, well, okay, I'll do that. I planned my schedule. Ohio State game was on at noon, so I got out there about 11 o'clock. We went and, of course, got him some groceries. He didn't have anything in the house, so, you know, there's always ulterior motives for our kids, right? That's okay. We spent about 4 hours together. So I went out there, got him some groceries. We went and got some wings and some fries, and we came back to his apartment. We sat down, and we watched the game. But, you know, it's also an opportunity to talk. And I asked him about church and stuff like that. I said, I don't know how we got on, but I asked him, I said, well, did you take communion? And he said, no, I didn't take communion. And I went, why? He said, because my heart wasn't right. Didn't make me sad that his heart wasn't right. It made me proud that he knows Scripture. And that he knows that we shouldn't take of the Lord's Supper if our heart isn't right when we come to the table. And believe me, I believe that God honors that too. So ask him to test your heart. Are you thankful? Are you grateful for the sacrifice that your Lord made for you? Or you just come up here and do it because everybody else is doing it. That's not why you do it. That's not why you do it. So I pray that for you today. Would you pray with me? God, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice, for your gift. You're so merciful. You could have left us in our sin to die. You could have left us to waste away, but you were merciful in your grace, and you sent your Son Jesus to die in our place. What greater example of mercy is there than that? God, we need you. We are dependent. We cry out and say, Lord, we can't do it without you. We need to lay down our own selfish hearts, and Lord, we need to pick up yours, because you are the provider of all things. You are the sustainer. God, whatever you will should come to pass, and we shouldn't do anything without consulting you. So thank you for giving us what we needed instead of what we wanted. For giving us what we didn't deserve. You said, I'm going to give it anyway. So as we approach the altar today, the table today, may we remember that, Lord, and we give you glory and honor and praise. So bless this communion now to your glory and our remembrance. In Jesus' worthy name, we pray. Amen.